you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Hello once again, and welcome to the Tough Things First podcast, where we sit down and have a chat with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Mr. Ray Zinn. And today we're going to be covering what I know is a topic dear to his heart. How does one become an entrepreneur? And can you actually train yourself to be an entrepreneur? And I know that this tickles Ray because through some philanthropic outreach, he's coaching the next generation of entrepreneurs at various college campuses around the country. And he is the epitome of Silicon Valley entrepreneurship. So hello, Ray. How are you doing today, sir?
Staying dry. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting winter, one of the wetter winters we had here. So, well, good to have you back with us, Guy.
It's always a pleasure for me to be here. And so let's dive in and talk about some natural entrepreneurs, some entrepreneur wannabes. What separates those two creatures? Well, you know, what defines the natural entrepreneur and what defines the wannabe who maybe someday become one but isn't quite ready for prime time?
Well, you know, we're all entrepreneurs, so we're all naturally entrepreneurs in that we do create, innovate, and negotiate. So we're all entrepreneurs. The difference is between one that is willing to step out and run his own company, and I think that's what you're referring to, is the passion. Now, not the passion to follow your passion. It's to be passionate about what you do. I had a friend of mine work for IBM. He's a senior fellow at IBM. And when I was starting my Crowl, he would ask me to tell him the story. Tell me the story. You know, how'd you start the company? How'd you do it? And I remember as a kid, you know, admiring, you know, various business leaders, you know, like John D. Rockefeller and so forth, and that, you know, had made, you know, millions of dollars, and I wondered how they did it. You know, how does one, you know, get to the point where, you know, they're, you know, like an icon, you know, whether it be like a Thomas Watson at IBM, or how do you do it? How do you start a company? And this friend of mine who worked at IBM, you know, he loved to hear the story, but he just couldn't see himself starting his own company. So that's the difference. That doesn't mean you're not an entrepreneur. It just means that to be able to start your own company, and see it through, is a different kind of an entrepreneur, as you would, maybe call it a business entrepreneur. And so all of us, you know, everybody listening to this podcast is an entrepreneur. It's just that their risk factor, what they're willing to put up to start their own company and go out on their own is the thing that we need to talk about today, Guy.
Well, yeah, and I think you dovetailed quite nicely into that with that story about that friend of yours who could not see himself becoming an entrepreneur. Was it some sort of fear factor that was holding him back?
Well, it's a combination. It's not just the fear, because, you know, there's always fear when you start your own company. Even though you're excited, there's still some degree of fear. It kind of reminds me of wild buffalo hunting in Africa. You know, I mean, you're excited about going on there, but there is some fear, because, you know, they're dangerous animals and they will kill you. So, you know, there's the excitement and then there's the fear. So, when I started my Crowl, then there was some degree of fear, but there was the excitement had to overrule the fear or I wouldn't have started the company. And so in the case of my friend at IBM, his excitement wasn't high enough to overcome the fear. So you can see you need to have more excitement than fear.
Well, and maybe that's the essential paradigm, because you know, a lot of people have a lot of ideas about a business or a product, and they never seem to have that over the top enthusiasm for that. And for some people, maybe their reaction to fear is just astronomical, and not even having the next Google in their head is going to get them over that fear. But for other people, they're just not in love enough with their idea that it'll get them past that.
Well, it's kind of like the I use the example of hunting Cape Buffalo as an example, but maybe some of you can appreciate parachute jumping. I mean, some people just love to jump out of the airplane and parachute jump. And, to me, there's no way I could do that. My excitement's not great enough to overcome my fear of jumping out of an airplane and hoping that flimsy cloth opens up and I float gently to earth. So, that's the key here is that, a great deal of excitement. If I were really, really excited about jumping out of an airplane, I'd say, heck with the fear, open the door, I'm out of here. How's that? That's a pretty good, it's a poem. So heck with the fear, I'm out of here. So anyway, that's kind of what it takes. You got to be more excited than you are fearful.
You know, I'm glad you brought up parachuting. You made me think about a friend of mine who I haven't seen in years. And when I first met him, he said, "Oh yeah, well, I used to parachute." And I said, "You don't anymore?" He said, "No, I'm waiting for my son to turn 18 years old." And I said, "That doesn't make any sense to me." He says, "They do not sell life insurance to people who actively jump out of airplanes, and I need to keep life insurance until he's on his own."
That's interesting. I don't know. I think there's more people killed in automobile accidents than jumping out of airplanes. But, certainly, I know of a friend, not a friend, but I know of someone who was spelunking. It means cave diving. And he got caught in a cave and he ended up dying because he got wedged in there and couldn't get out. You can get killed doing a lot of things. The first thing that will kill you as an entrepreneur is if you don't have the passion and the excitement to see it through. So that's the key of being a consummate entrepreneur is your ability to have more excitement, passion than the fear of failing.
And in just a second, I want to talk about reducing fear. And before we do, I want the audience to, if they have not already, go get a copy of Ray's book, Tough Things First. This is an end-to-end treatise about being an entrepreneur, about running your business, about leading people. One of the magical parts about this book is it is a fear reduction publication. If you are thinking about starting a business, but you're fearful of what it takes to start a business, read this book, because there are so many elements in here that will get you past those fear points, including what I thought was one of the best analogies I had ever heard, which was how entrepreneurs navigate through the dark room of unknown business issues. Ray, in this book, is going to basically train you up and get you past these fears, because you're going to be gifted with the knowledge of how to go about it, but also why these things should not make you fearful to begin with. So, Ray, aside from just reading your book, what can somebody who's sitting on the sidelines but is kind of itching to become an entrepreneur, what can they do to train themselves up so that they will have less fear and will have that confidence and all that optimism that is so necessary to being a good entrepreneur?
Well, without trying to over push my book, I'm going to tell a quick story. This fellow who's up in his years now, he decided, well, I think I'm trying to remember now, who maybe it was his son gave him the book and he was reading it. And he happened to catch me one time in a meeting and said that, and he had tears in his eyes. He said, if I had had this book when I started my company, I wouldn't have gone bankrupt. And I said, well, why is that? Why would this have made a difference? Because he said, this book has would have given me the confidence and the know-how to succeed. And I think that's the key, again, without trying to overpush the book. It gives you that confidence and that awareness of what it means to or takes to succeed. And that's the key of the book. Not that it's not a guarantee, just because you read it, you just say, oh, I'm a guaranteed success. No, it just means that it helps you understand the parameters. So, you know, and I tell my students that I teach, there's four courses that they really need if they want to enhance their chances of succeeding in business. And the one is economics. Second is accounting, basic accounting. Third is business law. And the fourth is financial and managerial accounting, which is really knowing and reading and understanding income statements and balance sheets. Those are the four courses, the core courses that will definitely help them. And I think almost all these courses are available online or through your community colleges. So even though, you know, you might not have a university around that you can go to, there are college classes available either online or in your community where you can take these four classes. It may take you, you know, if you took one or two a semester, it may take you a year. But those four courses will definitely help you give you that knowledge base that will assist you in running your business.
Well, and I'm so glad that you said that, because I think one thing that holds a few entrepreneurs back is this weird notion that they need an MBA from Stanford in order to be able to be a successful entrepreneur. And the fact is that you don't even have to be a full-time student pursuing a degree. You can go into a community college, take the 4 to 6 or 8 classes that you think are absolutely essential to getting, you know, the foundation under your feet, and you're going to be head and shoulders above most everyone else who has ever launched a business. You'll have the core ingredients. I mean, Bill Gates, he was a computer programmer and a college dropout, and you can see what he accomplished because he took a few of those courses and made sure they had the foundation underneath them. From what you've said, it sounds like you believe that people can train themselves up to be an entrepreneur. Let's talk about the personality aspect. What are the top three personal attributes a human really needs to have or to acquire so that they will be a really great entrepreneur?
I think courage is key. Humility. Humility really, you know, says that, you know, I don't know it all, but I'm willing to learn. And you're empathetic as when you're humble. And I think, lastly, not to make a big long list, but passion. You have to have a passion to do it, because passion will help you overcome a lot of the fears and concerns that you might have. You know, fear is the fastest thing to destroy you. And that's where courage comes in, by the way. Courage and passion go together. You know, you have to, you must be courageous, but you also need to have that passion that drives you when all else fails. I call it running on empty. In other words, you have to be able to run when your body is telling you no. You know, that's in racing or a marathon, they call it the wall. You have to be able to go through the wall or over the wall. And so, you know, whenever there's that nagging feeling, oh man, why'd I do this? You know, and gosh, I can't make it. I can't do it. The real entrepreneur just pushes his body through it. He overcomes that stigma of failure. And that's what a true entrepreneur can do. He can run on empty.
You know, I'm glad that you phrased it that way. I've been known to hang out with musicians and songwriters, kind of my passion, my hobby. And I've run across so many of them who are afraid to get on stage, not because of, you know, stage fright, but because they don't think they'll ever find that audience. But I've also talked to a few successful songwriters, a lot of successful musicians, and they were of the same mindset. They said, no, you just have to stick with it. You have to keep getting on stage and you build your fan base one new fan at a time. So they have this entrepreneurial zeal in a way in terms of their performing. They don't think they're going to be famous overnight. They think they're going to be famous by winning one friend every gig. So any last thoughts, Ray, about what would encourage somebody in the audience today to say, yes, I can. Yes, I want to be an entrepreneur. And yes, this is the one thing that's going to make me get up tomorrow morning and go do it.
Well, go back to those four classes. I think your willingness to take those four courses, accounting, economics, business law, and financial managerial accounting, the willingness to take those four classes, the willingness to read Tough Things First cover to cover, the willingness to raise enough money to take you to profitability, and then just, you know, having that personal drive and passion to see it through, because being an entrepreneur is not for the faint of heart. You know, if you're fearful, if you lack confidence, self-confidence, you know, you best not try it, because it will take a lot out of you and your family if you don't have that confidence to see it through.
Amen to that. And the interesting thing, I think, again, about your book in a way is that it helps create confidence. And just to give away a little part of the book, I mentioned before the entrepreneur's knack of navigating through the dark room. One of the analogies that Ray gives in his book is that finding your way through business means that you're going to be dealing with things that are unknown to you. And his analogy was, it's like walking into a dark room and you know two things. There's a door on the other side of the room and there's a lot of furniture in the room, but it's pitch black. And a good entrepreneur kind of treats business like being in this dark room. You move forward slowly. You feel your way around. You map in your mind where all the different pieces of furniture are. And eventually you're going to reach that goal of that door on the other side of the room. And that, I think, was one of the best lessons I got from Tough Things First. That's a great way to think about how you move through life, but also especially how you move through business. So, Ray, thank you again very much for your time. To everyone in the audience, also get a copy of Ray's other book, The Zen of Zen, if you really need to see how employees, leaders, managers, society, and the country in general all interoperate together. Because that's part of your job as an entrepreneur, is seeing those relationships and making them work in harmony. And rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast content. And be with us next week for the next episode of Tough Things First.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.